Again, I want to say good morning to all, and I feel impressed to speak on the Father's love, because of the fact there is a circle, brethren, there's a circle into which we have been brought. We are not exclusive, brethren, but we are looking at things from God's point of view, okay? In the sense that we have heard of the Father's home, the Father's house. We were told about the Father's counsels, of the Father of lights, the Father of glory, Father of spirits. But there is the Father's love. And when it comes to the Father's love, it is very, very exclusive. That's a realm where you are brought into to enjoy something that never had a beginning. I want to repeat it. The Father's love is that realm or that sphere or that world that never had a beginning. It always existed. We come into it in time. So we are brought into something that existed before, that man was never brought into, but now we are brought into it. The thing is this, brethren, when it comes to the world, we hear that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the love of God. That's sovereign. The Father no love the world. You will never see that in scripture. The Father, all that is in this world is the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And it's not of the Father, it's of the world. And this world, the fashion of this world, passeth away. But when it comes to the Father's love, and he says it is in a way, that realm is a sense of complacency. In there is a sense of satisfaction. In that realm, there's a sense of delight in that circle. And it don't go outside that circle. It brings us into that circle to enjoy what is in there. And this is the joy. The joy is, as I ponder the reality of these two young brothers who have taken their place in the circle of practically remembering the Lord and breaking of the bread, the drinking of the cup, brought into fellowship, so to speak, in a practical way. There is something that I just want to convey to all of us and to bring to my mind, is that this realm, I want to see it first in Christ and then bring it to us. We want to turn to John's Gospel and chapter 17 and verse 24. John 17, 24. Familiar verses. And we won't get too deep, we won't get too heavy. In verse 17:24, it says, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. So we are seeing that there was that relationship that existed before, of which the Son is the object. I'm not talking about Jesus now. I'm talking about the Son. We'll get to the Lord Jesus. The Son was the object in that realm where the Father and Son dwelt. They had such a love relationship and enjoy each other in the countless ages of eternity. And it was such a place of delight. It was such a place of deep, deep joy that passed between the Father and the Son, that he could say, thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Didn't it say in the book of Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 31 that the Father delighted in him? He was his delight, and his delight were with the sons of men. So now here it is, God is saying, you know what I want to do? I want to bring you into that sphere. I want to bring you in on the banks of the Jordan in the book of Mark and chapter 1, I think it's verse 11. It says, the Father says, thou art my son. Thou art, he addressed the son personally. Thou art my son in this day in whom I found all my delight. After 30 years looking at him, on the Mount of Transfiguration, he also spoke and he says, this is my beloved son in whom I found all my delight. Hear he him. Because there was that relationship and that love affair that existed between the Father and the Son. I want to turn to some verses in John's Gospel, chapter 3. John's Gospel, chapter 3, reading verse 34. For he whom God had sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. For the Father loveth the Son, and had given him all, and had given all things into his hands. Again, the Father says, listen, I'm going to give all things into the hands of the Son. Because the Son, he had confidence in the Son, that he's going to bring to pass what the Father delights. There's verses likewise in John chapter 5, verse 19 and 20. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and hath shown him all things that he, that himself doeth, that he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. The Father now says, I've not only put into the hands of the Son, but everything the Father doeth in this realm, the Son now is doing. He is displaying to us this love that existed way before eternity began. Sorry, before this world, before time began. He enjoyed this and went on and really lay hold upon what God has, is in the heart of God. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11 and verse 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and has revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemeth good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever he reveal him. That's the realm, brethren. That's the realm. And God is saying, there is a sphere that God wants to bring us into. And he says it existed before we were brought into it. And he's saying there was a love affair. When I think of that verse in John's Gospel chapter 10. When he says, no man taketh my life from me. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it back up again. This commandment have I received of my Father. He says, why? Because the Father loved him. And he said also in John's Gospel, chapter 3 and chapter 14 and verse 31, I believe he says, that the world may know that I love the Father. Because why? Brethren, there is something, in spite of how the world treated the Lord Jesus, in spite of all that he went through here, you know, it says, many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. If a man will give all the substance of his house for love, he will be rejected. So what propelled him? What kept him going on? What really stabilized the son, so to speak, and kept him give his back to the smiters and his cheek to them that pluck off the hair? Hid not his face from shame and spitting. It was love. It was love for the Father. When you read the scriptures and you come to John's gospel and see, indeed, sometimes when we read, we only see the suffering side of the death of the Lord Jesus. Yes, he was crowned with thorns. Yes, he was spat upon. Yes, his beard was plucked. Yes, indeed, they scourged him and made the plowers plowed upon his back and make long their furrows. It's true. All that they heaped upon him, as it were, when he reviled not again. Led as a lamb to the slaughter. But I need to see also the side of love where nothing you bring is able to deter me from this devotion and love for my Father. Father, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. He surrendered himself to the Father. And he had to say to Peter, the cup that my Father giveth me to drink, shall I not drink it? The Father was with him. In all of this, the Father was there with him. And this wonderful love affair is what God wants to bring us into. He said, listen, how is he going to bring us into it? Wonderful to remember the Lord Jesus in the breaking of the bread and the drinking of the cup. But there's a circle there. There's a place, brethren, where love strives, where satisfaction is, where complacency resides. And I think of the two disciples, indeed, when John says, behold, the Lamb of God. And they left John the Baptist and went after John the Baptist, they left John the Baptist, went after Jesus. And know what they ask? Master, where dwellest thou? Where do you dwell? And he said, come and see. It was the 10th hour. The 10th hour. Remember, we could only dwell with Christ after the 9th hour. Darkness was upon the face of the earth until the 9th hour. And he cried out, it is finished. So in application, here it is. The door is open that we can be where Jesus dwelt, where the Son dwelt, where we can come in into this sphere and realize indeed the Father's love and to be brought into this place in time. And he says, what is in there? What is in there? I tell you already here that I was at Buckingham Palace. I never got in. But I tell you this, we have been brought in to the eternal love of God. We have been brought in into this place of affection, this place of delight, this place where the Father says, my affections is not going out of this circle, but I'll bring you in to this circle to enjoy what my Son and I was enjoying. And John put it right. He said, that which was from the beginning, which we have seen, which we have heard, which we have looked upon, our hands have handled, the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, that eternal life which was with the Father, indeed, and was manifested unto us. He says, that you may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son. And he says, these things write I unto you, that your joy might be full. Listen, brethren, John's ministry is for the last days. Okay? It's for the last days. When everything is broken down, you know what remains? You know what remains? He says, now remaineth these three things, hope, faith, and love. But the greatest of these is love. And God wants to bring us in. And we are in, brethren. We are in. And we have been brought in. And I could understand Psalm 16, verse 11. In his presence is fullness of joy. And at his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. There is where I want to dwell. And he says, I want to bring you in there. And when we think of it, brethren, and we ask ourselves, what about this wonderful place? In John chapter 17 and verse 1, just turn into it. And we know the expression when he spoke there. He says, these words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. Now, here is a Father, literal Father. Think about the joy of a father seeing a son brought in into this circle. Think about the joy of having raised a son or a daughter. And they says, I want to remember the Lord. You think that don't touch your heart? Sure, it touch your heart. Think about the fact that it says, words may not able to express. But think about the Father's heart when the Lord Jesus uttered these words. It's like saying, I found something fresh to love you even more. I love you back in eternity. I love you so much. But now you have come and you have accomplished a work. The Father's affection come out to him. But the object is to bring others into what they have been enjoying. What they have been enjoying in the countless ages of eternity. So now he tells them, as the Father is pleased and the Father has been glorified, and the Father's heart is so opened up, as it were, for what the Son has accomplished. And he has accomplished it because he loved the Father. He loved the Father. Now, hear what it says to us in Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 9. Having glorified the Father, having finished the work that he had given him to do, he tells us in chapter 2 and verse 9, wherefore God has highly exalted him, give him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of things in heaven and things on in the earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We had made mention in Genesis, Isaiah chapter 53, he shall see of the travail of his soul and be satisfied. The love of divine persons. No, brethren, you know what God has done? And I want to share what God has done. We want to turn to a verse quickly in the book of Ephesians. In the book of Ephesians and chapter 3 and reading verse 16, that he will grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to apprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, hear what God says. God is saying to us, you know what I've done? I have given you my Spirit. It's the only place in the scriptures where we have the Father's Spirit. The Father's Spirit, he has put in our hearts his Spirit, that we may be strengthened to enjoy his Son with him. The Father said, listen, he is so precious. I'm not going to let you enjoy him outside there. I'm not going to let you enjoy him outside of this circle, outside of this sphere. I'm going to bring you in, so I give you my Spirit, that you may enjoy the Son with me, that he may be at home in my heart, that I may love the Son as the Father loves him. And then in the book of Galatians, let me read it. Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 6. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. This is what God has done. We have the Spirit of the Father, and we have the Spirit of the Son. Now, if the Spirit of the Father is given to us to enjoy the Son with him, the Spirit of the Son is to enjoy the Father with the Son. And this is what God is saying. I'm bringing you into this realm. I'm bringing you into this place. And I want you to know, here is where love strives. John's Gospel chapter 16 and verse 27. Tells us in verse 27, verse 26, and at that day ye shall ask in my name, and I shall, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loveth you, because you have loved me, and have believed that I came out from the Father. This is what the Father is saying. Imagine, you know what the Father delights? Because you love the Lord, because you love the Son, because you have affections for him. And Father said, because you have affections for him, boy, I tell you, I'll move heaven for you. Indeed, I'll bring you into this place that you may enjoy my Son with me. You could imagine the prodigal son went outside there. The Father's affections didn't follow him there. He went out, wasted his substance in righteous living. Indeed, and then he came to himself and he says, how much bread my Father have enough to spare, and I'm perishing here with hunger. I'll arise, I'll go home. And when he came home, indeed, and the Father fell on his neck and covered him with kisses, showing his affections. This is the place. This is the place where you will be satisfied. And I tell you, no matter where people will go, there is nothing that surpasses this circle into which we have been brought. This affections, listen. If you don't get anything this morning, remember this. God loves you. He loves you, and he says, I've brought you in to enjoy what I am enjoying. So eat the fatted calf. So as he ate, he had robe on. He had shoes on his feet, ring on his finger. But oh, to be eating the same thing the Father eating? Yes, he's feasting upon the Son. And this is what God has brought us. So being brought into practical fellowship is a high place of dignity. It's simple. It looks very simple. Just bread and wine. But what it is saying, not only we showing forth the Lord's death, not only we announcing that until he comes. We preach a sermon this morning. Oh yes, Jesus died and rose again and he's coming. It's not only, brethren. Indeed, we shut out the world and to be with him. It's not only a testimony to the sons of men. It's not only shut in with this, but we are brought in to a realm. Indeed, that was way back, never before this foundation of the world. We have been brought in there. And the Father says, that's your privilege. I want to bring scripture and I'll be closing. Okay? Let us look at that verse in John's Gospel chapter 17. And verse 23. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. The same love the Father has towards the Son is the same love he has towards us. Brethren, that is profound. Could I evaluate that? Could I put an appraisal? Could I say how valuable it is? I wouldn't be able to, because it's before the foundation of the world. But the same love the Father has towards the Son, he has to everyone who is brought into this circle. Let us look at John Gospel chapter 6, please. He says in John chapter 6 and verse 44, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that had heard and had learned of the Father cometh to me. So here we are. There is something in us. I want to repeat. There is something in us that draws the Father affections to us. What it is? It's the Son. We have the Son in us. You are loved so much that at times we don't know how delightful we are to the Father's heart, because you love the Son. And in closing, let's turn to that verse, John's Gospel chapter 14 and verse 23. It says in verse 22, Judas said unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? The world is excluded. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. What a blessing, brethren. What a tremendous blessing. There is two comings in John. Yes, the future. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go, I'll come again and receive you unto myself. That's future. But there is a present coming. My Father and I will come to you now because you love my Son. Brethren, when the Lord Jesus said that the world may know that I love the Father, this was his delight. This was his joy. This is what propelled him through this world. And keep this in mind as we continue on this path. We have been brought into a realm where love strives. And the Father wants us to enjoy the Son with him. And the Son wants us to enjoy the Father with him. May we dwell in this place. Master, where dwellest thou? Come and see. And you know, after they came out, they says, we have found him of whom Moses and the law did write, having affections for Christ, but coming into this love that always exists. Let us close in a word of prayer. Blessed Father in God, we thank thee for thy grace and thy goodness towards us. We thank you for that, for this realm into which we have been brought. Complacency, satisfaction, joy, and pleasures forevermore. We ask that we'll enjoy this place into which you have been brought, in which you have brought us. And ye blessed God, help us to feast upon thy Son, and that our hearts may be ravished in thy love, and realize that thy love, nothing could surpass it. The floods cannot drown it. The fire cannot indeed destroy it. Indeed, blessed God, nothing can quench the flames of it. But we ask to give us that joy, as John spoke of, that our joy may be full, as we enjoy what thou hast brought us into, to enjoy your Son with you. We ask to dismiss us with thy choicest blessings, Savior's precious name. Amen.